Welcome back. You're on the Rational Revolution. We got Mark Becker. You've got our friend Christina Dry, speechwriter, communications analyst for USAID. I got to say thank you to my dear brother, who is now 40. He's old. He turned 40 on the 1st of March. Yes, we're in March. It feels like forever. But anyway, so we were talking about, you know, how USAID fits in the whole, you know, national security diplomacy, that the 3D, the triangle, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about national security and how does that play a part?
Yeah. So with national security, it's all about, you know, advancing American interest and keeping American citizens safe. And when you do that, there are multiple ways to do that. And you know, you have the defense, the diplomacy, and the development. And development is really more of a soft power, right? So hard power is what we traditionally think about with national security. I did a national security degree, and all of, you know, my members in my rural North Carolinian community were like, oh, you're going to go study guns. And I actually study the opposite side of that. I do study national security, but it's the soft power. Yeah, I was like, yeah, kind of. The hard power is what you think about when you think of our missiles and our ships and our, you know, our guns and all of that jazz. And then there's the soft power. And the soft power is trust. The soft power is, you know, the leeway you have. It's a great example is, you know, in your own community, it's a nice thing to do to bring someone sick, you know, a casserole. But also you kind of know that maybe if you're sick next time, they might also bring you a casserole, right? And you live your life in these little exchanges of soft power so that you, you know, have room to negotiate and room to live. And everybody is just a little more, you know, communal. So soft power is all about trust and about not the hard side of things. And I say this because it is an incredibly important thing to do. Because then when it comes time for negotiations or it comes time for that, you know, like, I guess, harder wing to come in, you have some sense of leeway. So, you know, a really great example is in Vietnam, which, of course, in Vietnam, the U.S., you know, left a ton of really toxic substances, and USAID was working with them, especially at an airbase, to completely remove some of these toxic substances, which is a form of soft power because A, we're cleaning up our mess in a very big way, but also we're working through on this side of diplomacy where it's like, you know, we're going to do you a solid here. And then maybe if we ever need to negotiate, like, that's there. And that's a very, you know, elementary way of describing it. But when you look at the world today, we, you know, we're in this multipolar world where Russia and China, and you've got all of these poles that are going out, you know, from where you had the Cold War of even, you know, Soviet or America, you do need this sense of strategic thought behind things. So, you know, our missions around the world, when you're looking at placing them in Southeast Asia, and that's really important because not only are we helping, you know, these Southeastern Pacific, you know, countries grow education and work on their economy and combat climate, which, you know, is currently not on the table, which is a devastating mistake. We did a lot of climate adaptation work at USAID. You're also placing yourself in these locations to be able to have a sense of influence. And from a national security perspective, I think that shutting down USAID, and I'm not the only one to say this, and I want to give credit to those who do, but it will be the most egregious national security error in our history or recent history.
I totally agree with you. And you talk about soft power as trust. How trusted is America right now?
My instinct is not very, our word does not go very far right now, but more importantly, our money and our resources do not go very far right now. One of the big things about shutting down USAID is that contractors that have done work in the field and have already done work are not being paid the money that they are owed. And despite the fact that the judges have come out and said, you have to pay these invoices to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, often to American-owned businesses that have been doing this work, then they're still not paying that money. So not only is our, you know, payment, our dollar not trusted right now, but our word is not trusted. We, you know, said that we were going to provide, you know, these countries with healthcare. But what we're hearing from the field is that there are children in line for tuberculosis vaccines that were told to get out of line. You know, we told people that we would be providing them with much needed, like truly much needed between life and death meals. Those are sitting in warehouses rotting. you know, we told Europe and we told Ukraine and we told our allies that we would have their back, in part because they've agreed to have our back. And this week alone, all of those guarantees were just completely pulled away. So our word doesn't mean very much right now. Our money doesn't mean very much right now. Our resources mean very little to others. And you know this, we learned this when we're 5 years old, we, you know, when we're children, that the hardest thing in the world to gain is trust, and it takes a very long time. The easiest thing in the world to lose is trust, and it takes a second. And in just a second, you know, with USAID being gone, but also some of the other things that have happened specifically this week alone, I think our word means very little. And building it back up, gaining someone's trust back, very, very difficult to do.
Yeah, that's that was going to be my next question is you know, how these relationships that we've had, the trust that we have, you know, from clandestine operations with, you know, CIA or the in your face stuff, the good stuff with USAID. I mean, that takes generations to build. And what does it take to get that back?
That's the question for the ages. I think one of the things is that we do run on this sense of hopefully the world knows that this isn't, you know, exactly what the American people wanted. I mean, we did mandate, you know, President Donald Trump into office, but we did not mandate Elon Musk into office, number one. Right. Number two, we're seeing around the country where even people who voted for Donald Trump are, you know, expressing, you know, displeasure with some of these policies, and they're being told to be quiet. It's very clear that, you know, these conversations are not being had in good faith, nor are they responsive or reflective of the American people. And I say this because we actually had a tack when I was a speechwriter for USAID. And when we were talking about what Russia was doing, we did not say Russia is doing this. You know, we said Putin's doing this, or Putin's government is doing this, because we understood that what was happening from the government does not reflect the Russian people.
Right.
It is not a democracy. They don't have the ability to mandate those actions. And so one of the things I've been holding on to is it's only been a month, and I had hope. Again, we have 4 more years of this, so this answer is very, you know, premature probably, but I would hope that there is this sense of understanding from people around the world that, you know, as much as we have trust, we have a sense of grace, and there's a sense of grace that, you know, the American people are kind of in a bind right now. Yeah. And that if this were to change, now the thing is how much is that going to reflect in the next change of leadership? How much is that going to reflect over the next 4 years? What are we going to be left with? And for those answers, I don't know, because you have a sense where other countries have to protect their own interests too. And right now the United States is kind of like a unpredictable, you know, it's just going here and there, and you can't predict. And one of the worst things for any national security is unpredictability. But to get that trust back, there's already a legacy of having this sense of trust broken. Like when we look, and we have to talk about this, like the history of colonialism, the history of slavery, the history of, you know, extraction across the world. And when we're looking at USAID, development has changed over the years. And, you know, development as we were trying to do it, at least in the last administration, was inclusive, diverse, localized, et cetera. And to then go ask for trust again from communities that have historically not been able to trust, I think that that's a very deep conversation that has to be had across sectors.
Yeah. We're talking with Christina Dry here from USAID. On the other side, we're going to talk about some of the things that she's experienced, both the good and then how did this actually happen? How the heck did this happen here? On The Rational Revolution, we'll see you back in a little bit.